Jesus asked that you would use the words from Scripture, this story that we know so well, to help us know in a new and a deeper way your deep love for us. And we pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Well, a while back, a magazine did a survey asking different families what their favorite room was in the house. And everybody said the kitchen, except for the mom. No secret there, right? Guess what their favorite, moms, guess what their favorite room is? The bathroom. Why? Because they can just lock everything out, right? And just kind of escape from it all. Do you ever feel like doing that? Just shutting out everything, all the hassles of the world and all the hassles of your life, and maybe especially even this time of year with all those relatives running amok, a little retreat sounds good, right? Or do you ever want to just escape from a life that feels like it's all work, all have to, no adventure? Or shut out the worries that you've got about finances or health or relationships? One of the things that is so compelling about Jesus that Christmas shows us is that he does the opposite of what we want to do. Instead of kind of retreating from difficult things in life or the messy places in life, he does the opposite. He steps into them and changes messy places into amazing, beautiful places and the ordinary into the extraordinary. Over Thanksgiving, my family and I were in Eastern Washington, and we went to look at one of the houses that my dad grew up in. It was way out in the country. And my six-year-old daughter was looking down, staring at the ground in horror, and said, "What's that brown stuff?" And we said, "Well, that's horse manure, if you must know." And then my father told some stories, and then a few minutes later, my daughter, still looking at the ground in horror, said, "Dad, do ponies poop?" And I said, "Well, yeah." And she said, "Oh, then I don't want a pony." City girl, right? Get her out in the country more. Christmas shows us that Jesus is not like my daughter. Really, I know that seems like an awkward segue, but trust me on this. Jesus does not look at the difficult parts of life, the ugly parts of life or our world, the messy places in our lives or our world and go, ugh. He doesn't do that. Instead, he enters those places and he transforms them. And the fact that we view Christmas as a joyful holiday is proof that that's what he does. Because that first Christmas was anything but joyful. Jesus is God himself. And it's as if when God entered our world, he said, "Now let's see, how can I make this as hard on myself as possible? I know I'll be born to a poor teenage mom in an oppressed country in a stable." And that'd be like giving birth in an alley today. But that's its beauty. What is so beautiful about that first Christmas is how ugly it was. Because when Jesus stepped into it, he transformed it into a holiday of victory and hope and joy. So what are the messy parts of your life that need transformation? Or maybe not even messy, maybe just ordinary places in your life, but you're longing for extraordinary. A friend of mine is very successful financially, has a good family, takes a lot of adventure trips, mountain biking, skiing, everything you could want. But he always felt like something was missing. So he spent the last couple of years asking Jesus to guide him to something richer, something deeper in life. And lately those prayers have been getting answered. It started when he started to get together with a group of men who had sons the same age as his son to go do things like hiking, camping, fishing, sports, stuff like that, and use those adventures to teach their sons how to be godly men. He's also using his leadership skills to mobilize people from a bunch of different churches to go out and repair parks all over the city. Something dads and sons can do together, families can do together, build those bonds. And he says he feels like his life is getting bigger and richer and deeper because he feels like he has purpose. He says, "I'm not just living, but I got something that's a deeper purpose now that gives me energy." Now he's raising his sons to honorable manhood, helping other dads do the same thing while using his skills to help the community. I've known him for a lot of years. I've never seen him have this much energy, never seen him this happy all the years I've known him. In fact, the other day we were having breakfast, and he was telling me how he'd met some roadblocks on some of these projects and meant that he was going to have to wait a while on some of these projects. And I would say that waiting is not exactly his lead skill. The way he would describe himself is, he's the kind of guy who enjoys making decisions and enjoys making sure that people enjoy the decisions that he's made. But But he said, you know what? I guess this is just a chance for me to spend more time with family and friends. And I thought, who are you and what have you done with my friend? Because that's not like him. He is in the process of being transformed. More joy, more peace, because Jesus entered a good life and is making it more extraordinary. You see, Jesus wants more for us than we even want for ourselves. We're thinking pleasure. He's thinking beach ball joy that cannot be kept down by any problem we have. We're thinking success. He's thinking significance. We're thinking comfort. He's thinking adventure. And even if our problems don't go away, Jesus can give us a sense of his presence that is so real, so tangible, so powerful, so big that it makes our problems seem small. For example, I heard a story from a man named Lee Strobel, who used to be both a reporter and a confirmed atheist. And he was assigned to report on the struggles of an impoverished inner-city family at Christmas time. But when he met this family, he was surprised by their attitude. A woman named Perfecta Delgado and her two granddaughters lived in this tiny, roach-infested apartment, nothing in it, no furniture, no rugs, completely empty. The granddaughters only had one sweater between the two of them, which meant that when they walked to school in the cold, one of them would wear it for half the journey, and then the other one would wear it for the second half of the journey. In spite of that kind of extreme poverty, Strobel says, I never sensed despair or self-pity in them. In fact, it was just the opposite. They had all this joy and all this confidence, and all they talked about was Jesus. Well, even after he'd finished the article, Strobel kept thinking about the Delgado family. In his words, he said, I wrestled with the irony that they had nothing but faith and seemed happy, while I had everything I needed materially, but inside felt as empty as their apartment. So that Christmas Eve, he decided to pay him one more visit. And when he got there, he was amazed to find out that the readers of his article had responded and had helped the family out and had filled their apartment with all kinds of donations, furniture, clothes, food, toys. But what shocked him the most was that when he got there, Perfecta and her granddaughters were boxing up most of the stuff to give away to the neighbors. And when he asked why, she said, well, you know what? I just could not sleep easy at night knowing that we had all of this and our neighbors were still in need. And this is what Jesus would want us to do. And then she said, besides, got this huge smile on her face, besides, it's just fun to give it all away. And Strobel said, that just blew me away. Because if I'd been in their shoes, I'd have been hoarding everything to myself. And then Perfecta said, you know, all of this is a gift from God, but it's not his greatest gift. We celebrate that tomorrow. And it's Jesus. And Strobel said that she didn't say it in a phony way or a saccharine sweet way. It was just authentically true for her. To her, Jesus meant more than comfort, security, or stuff. Strobel said, it was then that I realized that they had peace despite poverty, while I had anxiety despite my plenty. They knew the joy of generosity. I only knew the loneliness of ambition. They looked heavenward for hope. I only looked out for myself. They experienced the wonder of the spiritual, and I was shackled to the shallowness of the material, and something inside of me made me long for what they have, or more accurately, for the one they knew. And that started a long process of exploration for Strobel that eventually led him to become a follower of Jesus. Now, if that's the kind of joy that Jesus can give to a family in extreme poverty, well, then what can he do when he enters the messy parts of your life? The boredom, the loneliness, the health, or the financial, or the relationship problem. And tonight, all you need to do to start that transformation is say, Jesus, will you enter this part of my life? And he will. And when he does, he'll transform it. And there are hundreds of people in this room who can tell you that he does because he's done it for them. And if you don't know Jesus tonight, maybe what that means for you is just committing to learn a little bit more about him. Maybe go to a church near where you live or talk to a pastor or a friend about Jesus. Because you know what? Even if you're not interested in Jesus tonight, he's interested in you. It's interesting to me that the first people that God told about Jesus' birth were a bunch of shepherds who at the time were really busy with their sheep making a living. They weren't looking for God, but God was looking for them. And God is looking for you too. Even if you think that the only reason you're here tonight is because some relative dragged you here. I know that happens occasionally. That was just God's way of getting you here. Because he wants to make your life extraordinary. And if you just invite him in, he will. Even if it's a little bit messy, even if your life's a little bit messy, because he's not afraid of the mess. When I was a kid, my family used to vacation with some other families on the Oregon coast, and one of the families was the Munsons, not their real name, but close. And Mrs. Munson didn't like all the sand and mess at the beach, and she would make her son, Edwin Munson, not his real name, but close, stay inside and read books all day. Well, meanwhile, my brother and I would spend all day out on the beach building sandcastles, body surfing, even if it was November, and then we would come in wet and sandy and dirty and noses running, and Mrs. Munson would say, "Oh, boys are so messy." Here's the good news of Christmas. God is not Mrs. Munson. God doesn't look at the messy places in our life or our world and go, oh, no. No, instead he enters those messy places and he makes them beautiful. The boring places and makes them exciting. The places of guilt and shame and remorse for what you've done in the past. And he makes you feel his forgiveness and his hope and his acceptance of you and his love. The places of despair, and he makes you feel his joy. As the Christmas carol says, he comes to make his blessings known. Where? As far as the curse is found, as far as the curse is found, as far as the curse is found, he brings hope, adventure, purpose, meaning, and joy to the world because he has come, and he has come for you, and he has come for me, and if you just invite him into your life, he will transform it all for the good. I promise. Merry Christmas. So Jesus, cast out our sin and enter in. Take the messy places and make them beautiful. Take the boring places and bring excitement. Take the painful places and bring joy, because we know that only you can and that you do. And we will give you all the glory and join our voices with the angels who sang about your birth 2,000 years ago, praising you for what you do. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.